Hello everyone, how are you today? I'm Iza Wellen and this is Iza Wellen Writes. I am reading chapter 10 of Caught. This is Anya's point of view. Calix has sent her in to talk with an older man named Andrews. An old guy with short cut white hair, a whiskery face, and two mechanical limbs greeted me after lunch in the library. He got up from behind his desk with the smile of a long lost grandfather, walking smoothly to me as if one of his legs weren't false, and reaching for my hands. The force inside of me, more free than it had ever been in my entire life, pushed forward, thrilled to greet another native mage. No, not that. I am not my mother, even in the little touches of the hand, because it felt too good, too sensual, to share with indiscriminate generosity. I snapped the slutty thing down and sidestepped the old man's touch. Expression more puzzled than offended, he rethought his greeting. You are Anya, yes? The witch responsible for this? He held up his copper and silver metal hand, opening and closing the fist. The hand, powered by my very own life energy, showed muscles and tendons like bands of liquid living metal. Gruesome and fascinating, I watched him move his fingers. Made by Calix's mother, his father had helped. He was an engineer of sorts, but she was the artist. I've had them both packed away for years. Calix woke me up before dawn and told me to get them out of the closet and put them on. Calix couldn't believe when he powered them up, when he showed me all the working lights, and my bathroom flooded. Ha! Leaving me here, Maul's all but shoved me inside this room. Carved from another one of the towers, the walls were polished to a glowing brown hue that revealed the grain of the wood beneath. Warm, earthy magic breathed in the atmosphere like a sleeping child. I shouldn't say carved. Vines, flowers on the edge of bursting open, and faces of animals looked back at me where the surface wasn't covered with books. Magic created. Old. This was the blending of mage and witch my mother spoke about all the time. A mage created the whimsical woodland artwork, shaping his wife's magic, blending their wills together with the tree instead of against it, coaxing this room out of the wood as if the vision and the story lived there, waiting to be called into being all along. I couldn't be sure. My mother's stories never matched with the reality we lived, but the beastly rainbow freak under my skin recognized this old magic, delighted in it, wanted to join with it, coil itself around it, and add her mark. With so much of Calix infused into the room, and his willpower wrapped around my neck in the form of a collar, I had a weird confidence that I could do that without him here, without the help of any kind of null machine. All I needed was the tree's consent. Insanity. Confidence I didn't want. The magic had a will of its own. I was two people now. It felt like a snake slithering under my skin. When I released it in the bath, with each intense peak, a new, awful duality focused itself into existence. Was this how Max felt? Part man, part dog, two things? The old mage watching me said, "Oh, this room, shaped by Argus ancestors. Beautiful, isn't it? A lost art, I must say. Takes years to accomplish an incredible talent." I heard it in my head. 5 days, the serpent whispered with a chuckle, a third being in the room. Not sure what my face said to the man watching me. He suddenly looked nervous while I stood there realizing I'm going insane. That I'd have to be killed, put down, because I heard the magic speak like a person. These kinds of things didn't happen. The magic was life. It wasn't alive. It wasn't. I didn't want it to be. Well, I'm Andrews. Would you like to sit down? Something to drink? I have so many questions for you, and the master told me not to hold back. You call him master, too? Miles treated everything Calyx desired with deep reverence, as if it physically hurt her to displease him or see him disrespected. Not liking me from the start, our relationship had not improved when she fed me a late lunch. Good-humored, but not in the way of Max or Gage, who had an inside joke for everything, Andrews chuckled. It's an old-fashioned term, I know, but his family has been here for generations. Look at this room, shaped as it grew. I know you understand how old this forest is. Do you know the lore? How it came to be? I knew a little. Everyone knew a little. I gave him a negative shake of my head as I took a cushioned, soft-looking chair in the corner, away from him. He probably had a lot he could tell me that I didn't know. Little lights blinked on when I sat down, revealing a cozy reading nook, full from my meal. All I needed was a step stool to take a nap. Call it, the sibilant voice in my head said. Wake it. Well, let me tell you, that's a good place to start, seeing what you can do, Andrews said. He didn't hear the voice, because it was imaginary, not real. He waved helpfully next to him. There's a chair over here, closer if you like. I'm fine. He coughed. Well, all right. Well, unionists have tried to revise and erase much of our history in their efforts to unify. Doesn't suit the Knolls that they didn't have an ancient to call their own. You know the five ancients. I nodded. Bedtime stories from my mom. Three female, two males. Andrews became animated, as if this was his favorite subject. Short version, the Argus family is descended from the stag, whose presence created the towers, who lived in and under this forest. He still sleeps, you know. The Union warns drained him, but they weren't able to catch him, so he sleeps. I don't have enough oomph in my being to tell for sure. Sometimes when the towers are creaking, I think I can hear him dreaming, an echo. The master's mother said the towers were still alive. Maybe you can tell. Yes, let's tell, answered the voice in my head. I wasn't going there, just pretended like I hadn't heard the question. But he suspected. Sometimes a weak mage is singularly gifted. They had little special talents, like creating charms or shaping an element. With the help of a witch, they could encourage and coax and call, but never fully control the world around them. Andrews was one of those. I did not need Miss Lizard voice telling me he was a finder. Better at it than old Stahl, who, half-born, was unable to ever realize his full potential. Calyx acted pure-born. He took my magic and did whatever he wanted with it. Andrews would take it and get good at finding things, especially secrets. Finders loved a good secret. But why which was why I was sitting far from Andrews. Let's tell, said the monster. I wasn't telling nobody shit. And your mother, she came from Yesidio. I imagine her family was part of the unification and all of that. She might still have relatives there. Can you tell me about them? Have you met them? Saying nothing, I agreed silently while blinking at him as if I didn't understand the question. Yes, she might. There was no reason other than trouble with Union authorities why they still wouldn't be there. Do you know why your mother came to New Indio? How she managed to stay out of Union hands while she was here? That's always puzzled me. I remember her, and you, I must say. I thought you'd been taken or found a protector to shelter you. It's nice to see you. It's been years since I've seen hair so silver, and the way it changes colors, you are magic in the flesh. He let a fond awe into his voice, as if I was precious as one of the rare books in this room, the last of my kind. The thing inside of me sat up and preened. I felt it. Felt an arching, serpentine, lizardish body. It adored attention. It wanted to be seen, to be known, to be acknowledged. And how had I not realized that my hair was doing that thing, showing off with pastel color changes that gave away my every mood? I thought I'd been sitting here stoic and controlled. Yesterday I had everything planned out. Hide, survive, save, wait for my chance to escape so I could hide in a better place. Even though I was dressed, I was naked now. My face, my hair, my hands. The fucking magic out there all for everyone to see. And then Shade came into the room, a shadow across the floor, insubstantial. In this shape, a circle of black iron sand could block him. But that was the only thing, I thought. He moved across the floor, a pour of beautiful fluid darkness and hellfire incense. I knew in theory that terror followed in his wake, as every fear, guilt, and shame that motivated a person was brought to the surface and exposed. The stories said the experience could drive one insane instantly, depending on the amount of fear, guilt, and shame. Fear I had, shame too, even guilt that I hadn't saved my mother, guilt of what happened after. But when Shade's shadow moved up my legs over my body, a hound too big trying to crawl into my lap, all I felt was profound relief and acceptance. The magic just quieted. Satisfied. The hellhound's attention, such a gratifying feeling that it was willing to lay still just to enjoy it. Well, Andrew sputtered, leading away. That is, well, he tried again. The master said they like you. I had no idea. He won't hurt you. No need to be afraid. The man looks sick. Now I was the one feeling a chuckle. My mother led a charmed life, until she didn't, I told him, distracting him with one of those secrets he was bent on knowing for the sake of his master. Was she charmed? I nodded. She always said she was. Anyway, she said a lot of things. She said things I ignored, hid from, denied, and got really pissed off at. Going through her things after her death, I discovered her book, a journal. Since I wouldn't listen and let her talk, she started writing down things she wanted to say that I refused to hear. I packed it to bring it with me, one of my treasures I had to have, but couldn't stand looking at or touching. After opening it that one time to see what kind of book it was, I never opened it again. Shining and brilliant, Noelle Duvive drew the eye wherever she went. We lived in a town regularly searched for in Dinajan. I'd been at the market buying fruit once when I was little, and a unification troop of 6 Union soldiers walked through town. 2 of them held devices in their hands they watched as they walked, one a long, funny-looking rod, the other a black box. The other 3 carried guns, swords, and killing gear. Mother told me to stay still. I'd been terrified. Learned what it felt like to be prey. Maybe 3-4 years old. I know she could pick me up sometimes if she had to. She drew me close into her arms as the team's menace approached us. That feeling had imprinted itself on my brain. The troop walked by as if we didn't even exist. I felt the story, that feeling again. But instead of fear, the predator inside of me seethed with anger, rage, which, thankfully, a shadowy shade covering me like a blanket, soothed away, anger disappearing quickly as I felt it. Anya, no one will hurt you here. You will never be asked for more than you can naturally give, more than you want to give, and for that, it will be helpful to know more about you. He waved his fingered old man hand at me, his machine one steady over his heart in a parody of a vow. You are different. The hounds just don't act like that with anyone. The master needs to know if this is an anomaly or going to be a regular occurrence. I snorted. I am an anomaly. That was one way to say it. Patiently, Andrew said, we need to know why. I don't like to talk about it or think about it, I said. Is there some trauma, my dear? Times are hard, I understand. Would you rather speak with a woman? I shook my head. No. Other than my mother, I didn't get on with women. 7 the Hellhound was my first female friend. I'd wanted friends. As a picker, children go into the trees and teams of 2s and 4s, the oldest handies supporting the younger newbies. I usually went with half-born boy, one that didn't wash enough and couldn't find friends as a result. The girls paired off before I could even ask to join them. You won't be hurt here, But the Master Kallax and his seconds, Max and Gage, they discipline those who can't get along and follow directions. You understand? He's in charge here. The Master's home, the Master's rules. I'd be happy to leave. His eyebrows went up as if nobody had ever said that. But you are safe here, he sounded confused. You will be provided for. No one will touch you uninvited. We followed the old ways. Does that mean I can leave if I want to? It isn't safe for you to leave. Unification soldiers haven't been here since Kallax came. Why isn't it safe? I turned the tables on the Finder. My questions and desires made no sense to him and triggered a need to understand and find out why and where this strange alien concept came from. Why isn't it safe? Well, you could be taken to the city for re-education. Sold, bartered, stolen, used up by rotten, thieving mage gangs. I had heard of those. But again, since Kallax came, marauders like that didn't come through New Indio. No gang sets Kallax. Individuals, yes. But I was handling individuals. I don't need this place or his protection. Why don't you feel safe? What do you think will happen? I knew my eyes were shining this time, and that my hair had turned from light blue to a darker hue, followed by purple and pink. I could see the shimmery prismatic light in my hands. Andrew stood, drawn to it, as if he weren't 80 years old, his mouth slack, mesmerized. Shade solidified. I grunted under his sudden corporal weight, red eyes glowing that a mage would dare get too close. With a yelp, the old guy fell back into his chair. I said, "That could happen. That has happened. With none other than your master. He touched me when I asked him not to. He ignored my wishes because his wishes were more important. Only the hellhounds won't stop his touch, his kiss." I shivered, belly fluttering and things lower clenching hard at the memory. "Dear girl," he began, "you would have touched me without my permission." I forced the greedy witch down, ignored the unspeakable thing happening in my breasts and lower regions at the thought of the hunter, dimmed the glow as much as I could. "Your magic was calling mine," he explained. "My magic was showing off for you. That's not how it works. That is how it works with me. Are you like your master, asking questions and ignoring the ones you don't like the answers to? Rolling over me with your will? Why should I trust a man like that?" Defensive, he stroked his white whiskers around his mouth. "No one means you harm. The master would never harm you. I would never harm you. Certainly, with power like that, you need a mage to help you, ease you. Doesn't it hurt? Don't you have urges?" I gave him a grim smile as he said the last. Prim and traditional, Andrew blushed a bit when he said it. "Urges. No. I'd never had an urge until Kallax Argus touched me, skin on skin, mouth to mouth. Glaring at him, I said, 'I won't be a slave to the magic.' 'Witches die if they don't release.' Andrew didn't hear what I was saying. It was all truth. He couldn't comprehend any of it. 'I don't want to be a witch. I don't need release.' Disbelief, outrage, confusion. Andrew was just like Kallax, ignoring me. 'That's impossible. You are a finder. Find my truth,' I challenged him. And because it was wide awake, because the thing inside of me knew it would work, using the floor as a conductor, I sent him a wave of my magic. I regretted it an instant later. Like doors flung wide, the stuff inside me escaped in an eager torrent of giddy power. This room, the floor, wasn't a null-made device. Shaped from a tree, the room was a living thing, a sleeping thing that my monster gleefully burst through, waking it up on its way to Andrew, whose body went stiff with a jerk and a gasp when it sank hard into its unsuspecting form. "Anya!" My name barked with an alpha command as Kallax stepped into the room. Like a magnet, my magic switched directions, went to Kallax, wrapped him up in a brief squeeze, making his eyes widen, then snapped back to me. He stumbled a little, as if his legs had gone weak. I felt a small smile on my face, satisfied that he should feel the cost of what he'd done to me. "I can't get anything done today if you keep doing that," he said. What did you do to Andrews? The old man was laid out in his chair, one knuckle white as he gripped the edge of his desk, the other silver hand trembling faster than bee wings, a shocked expression on his face. I shrugged. He's a mage. He wanted my truth. I gave it to him. Andrew's head wobbled in our direction. His mouth moved, but no words came out. Kallax, for once, stood a little confused, like he didn't know what to do next. I folded my hands in my lap. Am I finished talking with Andrews yet? Around us, the entire room suddenly shivered, as if the wood of the tree were clenching and unclenching. A loud, snapping, crackling noise. Kallax laid his hand on the embedded shelf, connecting with the tree and the ancient source. I had a good idea what he'd feel. The voice in my head whispering, "Wake it, wake it, wake it." Ah, little witch, what have you done now? I didn't do this. No one could expect me to take responsibility for what had been forced on me. Was he going to stand there and judge me now, all my freakishness set free? A new fear settled in the pit of my belly, because I didn't have enough phobias to deal with. Would Kallax reject me? That was what I wanted, to be rejected, ignored, wasn't it? I couldn't want the intention, the attraction of this beautiful, powerful male. I would not court his acceptance. That ran contrary to all I'd set up myself up for. It wasn't going to bother me when he looked at me with new eyes and realized what he'd woken up. He could go ahead and stare at me with his disgust and distrust. I was ready for it. I hadn't seen him come in, but Noxpaw's shadow slinked over to me, followed by the rest of the pack, a river of shadow that streamed around Kallax in my direction. The room was too small for their solid forms, so they filled it up with their beautiful liquid night, pouring around each other, surrounding me, supporting me. I felt calmed and steadied by them, their acceptance, their flawless, uncomplicated devotion. My spirit recognized the hellhounds. These deadly creatures turned me to mush. Fingers tingling with hellfire awareness as I played my fingers through the shadows, petting over Noxpaw's head. Seven, her eyes aflame I could get lost in, shoved the younger beast out of the way, demanding her due, her shadow climbing over Shade as if he wasn't there. I decided it didn't matter what Kallax thought. He was stuck with me now. I was pack. They had adopted me, and there was no undoing that, and I didn't want to leave it. This is what I needed. Andrew's old wooden chair made a noise as he pushed himself back from his desk. Against the wall, as far away from the mass of hounds and shadows as he could get, he croaked out some words to Kallax. Master, do you know what she is? Do you know? Ignoring Andrew's, Kallax asked me, why don't you tell me, Anya? Just admit it. I couldn't read him. No predicting what he'd do. I sighed, feeling a little broken. Feeling a lot of ridiculous, incongruent things. The monster moved under my skin, under my consciousness, claiming her space, fixed, wanting to leap at Kallax again, if given half the chance, coil around him, hold him, mark him as her own so badly it made my toes twitch. My mother said I was a newborn. Newborn! Andrew pointed at me with his mechanical hand. I saw my magic crackle and jump around the construct, leaking out at the edges. The earlier kindness in his face was replaced by a new fear he fought not to overwhelm him. The hellhounds added to the knowledge and the magic I had thrust at him. Too much for the old man to handle. Kallax gave me a grim smile. Newborn, Mo Cataleach, and your father, your line sire. What will you do? I asked. I needed to be prepared for the backlash. It'd been a long day. If he was planning to try to kill me for being an anomaly, a monster, I deserved to be prepared for it. My mother said I needed to embrace my whole self. But she hadn't been there when the other children threw rocks at me. She wasn't there when the adults told me to go home and not come back. The childhood incidents shaped me the same way a mage and a witch had shaped this room. I knew what to expect from this truth. It hurt a little that I'd get it from Kallax the same way I'd gotten it from everyone else, But I understood. I was prepared for it. The world wanted weak witches. Soft, pretty, needy. People expected that. Mages demanded that. I was not. Not with the monster inside of me. The monster who was perfectly capable and willing to kill. Kallax said something in the Hellhound's language. I heard it as Seven heard it. A snap of command. Bed. And the impulse to obey. He was sending them to his room. Go, I agreed. There were too many in here. The poor old man looked like he couldn't take much more, and I really didn't want him hurt today, only to stop looking at me like I was confused and clueless. I sent them all away, even Shade. Some things I had to face on my own, the way I always had. No longer bathed in the shadow of his hounds, I felt naked when Kallax came over to me, took my hand, pulled me to stand. He watched the light show where we touched. Never going to get tired of that. Brought my hand up to his mouth, kissing it, sought my eyes. Could he see the 100 things I was feeling at once? What will I do? He asked, repeating my own words against my skin. I will claim you, little witch, before any other does. Own you the way a man owns a woman. Mark up your skin and drink you down. Then fill you up until you don't know where I start and you end. Wrap myself up in you so tight that I know your every thought. Your every fear, your every desire before you know it. Then lay your every wish at your feet. Gonna saturate you in my scent, my seed, my magic, so that every man and mage on the planet knows who you belong to. The low declaration of his speech rumbled through me. This man was intense. I think I wobbled a little. How did I answer that? How dare he say that? I stood there, shocked silent. He stepped in, closer until I was pressed back against the things behind me, and his body heat, the wonderful warmth of his magic, surrounded me. You don't know me, I whispered weakly. This stranger was saying the things that I couldn't comprehend. So far out of what I had prepared myself for, it felt like a different language, a shocking different world. He'd been in this town for 4 years. I'd watched him, keeping my distance, not a fool like my stepsister to chase down a cocksure male like him. Watched his tall, confident form as it stalked through town with his men at his side. I kept my distance. Having cut myself off from my magic, I had no sense of his, but I could see the obvious power of him. Heard the conversations and stories that just drifted through New Indio in his wake. He followed through on his hunts, never failed. The man took whatever he wanted and kept what he held, demanding respect with his presence and his deeds, not his words. People scrambled to do his bidding. What insanity was it that this man, a man like him, would say things like that to me? Tell me, Anya, tell me who you are. His purr coaxed all kinds of things out of my flesh. Bird wings and prickles, addictive sensations, a seductive song that had dared me to lean in. Temptation incarnate, making me want to open up and trust him. Master! A new voice made me jerk, look around Kallax's shoulder. He turned before I could see. Malls, a message for you, the woman said. She must feel something in the room because she hung back. Kallax's body stiffened a little at the words and reaction, not lacking the interruption, I think. The moment had felt too intimate to me, and I wanted to hug Malls for her coming with her message just now. She made it easy for me to take my hand back from the hunter's hold and squirm away from him. I think I do need a rest. It's been a long day, I told them, running away. And that was chapter 10, and I believe my 11th podcast episode.